This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld, host of the Washington Watch weekly radio program, sitting in for Tony. And you'll hear from Tony in just a moment. If you've been listening over the past several months, you know that Tony serves as an interim pastor at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church in Louisiana. And on today's program, we will be listening to a sermon Tony gave on Pulpit Freedom Sunday. As a national spokesman for Pulpit Freedom Sunday, Tony begins this sermon addressing why the pulpit must be free. Here now is Tony Perkins.
Does government have a right to muzzle ministers, to dictate what pastors can preach from the pulpit? Hello, I'm Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and national spokesman for Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Many pastors and churches have been bullied by the IRS into silence when it comes to preaching the whole counsel of God, particularly as it applies to electing godly leaders and promoting righteous and just laws. Their justification? A 1954 amendment to the tax code by then-Senator Lyndon Johnson. The amendment stated that nonprofit tax-exempt entities, which include churches, could not, quote, participate in or intervene in, including the publishing or distributing of statements, any political campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office, end quote. Well, since the amendment passed, the IRS has maintained that any speech that could be construed as supporting or opposing candidates for government office, including sermons from the pulpit, can result in loss of tax exemption. Now, after the amendment, churches faced a choice: speak freely on all issues addressed by Scripture and potentially risk their tax exemption, or remain silent and protect their tax exemption. Unfortunately, many ministers opted to remain silent. And therefore, the church has mainly stayed on the sidelines. And the quality of government, the character of our culture, has spiraled downward. But with God's help and your involvement, we can change that. Listen, what you preach from your pulpit is between you and God. The IRS has no right to censor your sermons. Your God-given right, as affirmed in the First Amendment, trumps any rule the IRS can use to try to silence you. I trust you would agree with the response Peter and the apostles gave to their governing officials. We must obey God rather than men. So we're asking you to do two things in response to this unconstitutional IRS rule. First, preach to your congregation. Sign up to participate on October the 2nd and preach a message about the upcoming elections. Traditionally, Pulpit Freedom Sunday pastors have spoken directly and scripturally about candidates, and that is your constitutional right. However, you may only want to keep it general and simply encourage your church members to exercise their stewardship responsibilities to be salt and light in the election process, and that is your right as well. Regardless, preach to your congregation on October the 2nd about their responsibility to participate in the upcoming elections. Second, petition Congress. Congress passed the unconstitutional Johnson Amendment in 1954. Now they need to repeal it so that the muzzle is taken off of ministers. Encourage your church members to call their members of Congress at area code 202-224-3121 and urge them to repeal the part of the IRS code called the Johnson Amendment. So petition Congress. Again, this joint project of Alliance Defending Freedom and FRC is not only biblically based, historically proven, constitutionally sound, but it's also backed by an army of ADF attorneys who are standing by to defend any church investigated by the IRS. In fact, since launching the initiative in 2008, the IRS has yet to prosecute a single church, not one. What has happened is that pastors have received overwhelming responses from their congregations, many receiving standing ovations. So, visit the website frc.org/pulpit to sign up. Mark your calendar for October the 2nd and join the Pulpit Freedom Sunday movement.
Well, good morning. As we just heard, this is Pulpit Freedom Sunday, and if you had any question about it, this pulpit is going to be free this morning to speak the truth of God. We will continue our series next Sunday, The Post of a Pastor. We finished 1 Thessalonians last week. Next week, we'll pick back up with the letters of Paul as we look at his letter to the Galatians. Our message this morning is entitled, Why the Pulpit Must Be Free. Why the Pulpit Must Be Free. Our key verse this morning is found in 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's 2 Corinthians. Some of you will get that later. Probably my most significant contribution to a political election ever, but we won't talk about that. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. And this morning, once again, we ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten our spiritual eyes, to help our ears to hear spiritually what you're saying. And Lord, right now I bind every distraction, I bind every confusing spirit and that which would seek to divide and distort, and I pray, Father, that we would hear clearly what your word has to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most universally recognized buildings in the world is the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C. How many of you have been there to our nation's capital? If not, you've certainly seen pictures. Anybody know what's atop the dome of the Capitol building? Anybody? Anybody seen it? Paid any attention to it? Well, there is a 19.5-foot statue. It's Freedom Lady, or officially known as the Statue of Freedom. It is often mistaken for an Indian, but it is not. The statue depicts a female wearing a military helmet and holding a sheathed sword in her right hand and a laurel wreath and shield in her left. The designer had described the statue as an allegorical figure of freedom triumphant in war and peace. The statue was commissioned in 1855 by Congress, and the plaster model was crafted in Rome, Italy. Now, once the model was completed, it was shipped to the United States in the spring of 1858. But the ship ran into trouble during the course of its journey, and the story is told that in the midst of the storm, which threatened to sink the ship, the captain ordered that the excess cargo be thrown overboard to lighten the ship. And as the storm continued and the sailors became more anxious about their safety and their future, they wanted to rid the ship of all of its cargo, including Freedom Lady. And the captain replied, "Never will flounder before we throw freedom away." To borrow from Patrick Henry, one of our founders, "I would rather die an impoverished free man than live the life of a luxurious slave." This morning, I want you to see that from the Word of God, that the freedoms that our country has enjoyed will be lost without the pulpits being free to proclaim the whole counsel of God. The key truth that I hope to unpack for us in our few moments together is this. Our nation's political, economic, and religious freedoms are intertwined. They cannot be separated. And their foundation is the spiritual freedom that comes from the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. So I begin first, our first point this morning is freedom's foundation. I heard the story of a children's church teacher that was teaching a lesson on July the 4th, and she asked this rhetorical question of her students, and she said, "Aren't you glad you're free?" One of the little boys in the back of the room took offense to her rhetorical question. The little boy said, "I'm not free, I'm four." It's important that we start with the proper definition and we understand the terms. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, which we'll study in a few months from now in greater detail, but in this passage of Scripture where he is talking about the Spirit of the Lord and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When he's talking about this liberty, the definition is much different than the definition in popular culture today. Liberty is not unrestrained hedonism pursuing today's motto, if it feels good, do it. Paul is saying that when we have the Spirit of Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit, we are free from the bondage of sin and death, and then we are free to live as we should, free to live as God created us to live. That is freedom. To put a finer point on that, let me use an analogy of a train. A train was created to do what? Run on tracks. When it runs on tracks, it has power, it has endurance, it can go great distances and move great loads. But when a train derails, like happened in New Jersey this week, we don't call that freedom, we call it a train wreck. Well, being when you and I are living under the bondage of sin and death, that is not freedom. Folks, that's a train wreck. But when we come into a proper relationship with Jesus Christ, when we're set free from our sin and from the bondage of death, we are basically put back on the tracks and we're enabled to live as we have been created to live. That is freedom. God said that we were created to worship Him and to enjoy Him forever. And when we are in a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, we're free to do so. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." William Blackstone, an English jurist of the 18th century that influenced the thinking and understanding of many of our founders like Alexander Hamilton, John Marshall, John Jay, who was the first Supreme Court Justice, John Adams, the second President of the United States, and even Abraham Lincoln. The U.S. Supreme Court has even cited Blackstone in years past. On liberty, Blackstone wrote this, quote, "The natural liberty consists properly in a power of acting as one thinks fit, without any restraint or control, unless by the law of nature, being a right inherent in us by birth and one of the gifts of God to man at his creation when he endued him with the faculty of free will." You see, the law of nature that Blackstone references is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 2, where he said this. He says, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things contained in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law," listen, "written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness." You see, what Blackstone was saying, liberty is the freedom to operate according to the law that God wrote upon our hearts. That is liberty.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and we're glad you've joined us. Today we have a sermon given by Tony at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church in Louisiana. Don't go away. We'll hear more from Tony on the other side of this break.
Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join my wife, Luana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's a luxurious MS Eurodam in Seattle for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll be joined by other believers as we study God's Word and worship Him together in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. Alaska is truly awe-inspiring. From stunning wildlife such as humpback whales to the purple mountain majesties, America is known and loved for. You'll also hear the latest updates from Washington on the new Congress and administration. Come, fellowship, relax, worship, and explore with us on this memorable vacation experience that is sure to enrich your body, soul, and spirit. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that number is 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the media telling you what to think? It is difficult to sort out what is true and what is false in the news. That's why Family Research Council President Tony Perkins writes a daily newsletter called The Washington Update. This daily email newsletter analyzes the most important events and topics at the forefront of the battles for religious liberty, the protection of life, and the defense of natural marriage, not only in Washington, but around the country. The Washington Update's daily articles cover a range of topics, from the latest election season news to underreported stories about both setbacks and successes in the fight for religious liberty, the sanctity of life, and marriage. Don't miss this critical, in-depth analysis of the day's most essential stories that are shaping our nation's future. Visit frc.org/Washington-update today to learn more and subscribe. Again, that's frc.org/Washington-update.
This Christmas, give with a purpose, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. Here at Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Our work ahead includes ensuring that a conservative Supreme Court justice will be selected to repeal and replace Obamacare and do further family values policy in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or frc.org/give to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/give. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld, host of the Washington Watch weekly radio programs, sitting in for Tony. If you're just joining us, we're listening to Tony's sermon, Why the Pulpit Must Be Free, that he gave at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church. We just heard in 2 Corinthians that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Tony emphasized that the freedoms that our country has enjoyed will be lost if pastors are not free to proclaim the whole counsel of God. Let's go back to Greenwell Springs Baptist Church and listen in.
To live, that is freedom. God said that we were created to worship Him and to enjoy Him forever. And when we are in a right relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, we're free to do so. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." William Blackstone, an English jurist of the 18th century that influenced the thinking and understanding of many of our founders like Alexander Hamilton, John Marshall, John Jay, who was the first Supreme Court Justice, John Adams, the second President of the United States, and even Abraham Lincoln. The U.S. Supreme Court has even cited Blackstone in years past. On liberty, Blackstone wrote this, quote, "The natural liberty consists properly in a power of acting as one thinks fit, without any restraint or control, unless by the law of nature, being a right inherent in us by birth and one of the gifts of God to man at his creation when he endued him with the faculty of free will." You see, the law of nature that Blackstone references is what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 2, where he said this. He says, "For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things contained in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law," listen, "written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness." You see, what Blackstone was saying, liberty is the freedom to operate according to the law that God wrote upon our hearts. That is liberty. Liberty is inside out. John 8:32 says this, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You're not free to know the truth, but once you know the truth, then you are set free. It's an inside job. You want freedom? You want liberty? It begins inside. When Jesus was saying this to the Pharisees,
He said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." They didn't quite know their history, but anyway. He said, "How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered, said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." It's not what is happening on the outside that puts us into bondage. It's what's happening on the inside that puts us in bondage or sets us free. So the foundation of freedom is spiritual freedom that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And from that, we will see this morning spring the fruits of freedom. Freedom's fruits. In his book, Civilization, Harvard professor, no doubt, Neil Ferguson, he includes a revealing quote from a member of the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, a communist organization. When they had conducted a study attempting to identify the dominant factor that gave Western civilization the advantage over other civilizations. I quote from this book. "We were asked to look into what accounted for the preeminence of the West over the world. We studied everything we could from the historical, the political, the economic, and the cultural perspective. At first, we thought it was because you had more powerful guns than we had. Then we thought it was because you had the best political system." They've obviously not been here at an election time. "Next, we focused on your economic system. But in the past 20 years, we have realized that the heart of your culture is your religion, Christianity. That is why the West has been so powerful. The Christian moral foundation of social and cultural life was what made possible the emergence of capitalism and then the successful transition to democratic politics. We don't have any doubt about this," end quote. Think about that for a moment. Communist China doesn't doubt that America's foundation is its spiritual foundation, but yet we have a government today that denies it. The Bible speaks very clearly to this in Ezekiel chapter 36. This is a prophetic passage of Scripture to the children of Israel of what God is going to do in them, but the principles apply to us as well. Chapter 36, verse 26, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you will dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will deliver you from all of your uncleanliness. I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your field, so that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations." In that passage of Scripture, God is telling the children of Israel, as they come back into a right relationship with him and get the spiritual foundation correct, all of a sudden there's political freedom. "And you shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers." There is religious freedom. "And you shall be my people, and I will be your God." And look at the economic freedom and prosperity that flows from that. "I will call the grain and multiply it and bring no famine upon you." These freedoms, political freedoms, religious freedoms, economic freedoms, are intertwined. They are related. It is not like we can have economic freedom like some of the libertarians of our day are saying, "Well, we don't need to focus on religious freedom, we just need economic freedom. Or we just need political freedom." Folks, you cannot have economic freedom without political freedom, and you cannot have political freedom without religious freedom. And we can have none of these freedoms without spiritual freedom. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone in our society has to be a Christian, or they have been, or they will be.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Don't go away. We'll hear more from Tony's sermon right on the other side of this break.
From the ruling to uphold Obamacare's individual mandate, to the ruling to redefine marriage, to the ruling that allows the government to seize a citizen's home, these are the many important decisions that the United States Supreme Court has made recently. But did you know that each of these three decisions was determined by a one-vote margin? The Supreme Court's decisions affect all of us, and it decides about 70 cases every year. Over the next 8 years, we could get as many as 4 new Supreme Court justices. Furthermore, these justices will have a huge impact on the sanctity of human life, religious liberty, and the size and scope of government, and even parental rights. Join Family Research Council Action as we work to ensure the confirmation of Supreme Court justices who will uphold the Constitution and simply apply the law as the founders intended. Become a member today at frcaction.org. That's frcaction.org.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This is David Salkeld, host of the Washington Watch weekly radio program, sitting in for Tony. Before the break, we began looking at the foundation of freedom, taken from a sermon Tony preached at Greenwell Springs Baptist Church. Let's continue listening to that sermon now.
Now, that doesn't mean that everyone in our society has to be a Christian, or they have been, or they will be, but for freedom to endure, the foundation must be spiritual freedom found in Jesus Christ alone. America's future will not be stable on some kind of multicultural, all religions are equal approach. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You look at the evidence, the historical evidence. Those nations that embrace Christianity are the nations that have prospered. You go to the Middle East and look at the nations that have embraced Islam. With the exception of those that have oil and have not utilized it the best they could, though, and it's not equality across the board. You look at a nation where there is equality across the board for men and women and different ethnic groups. America's not perfect. But when you look at a nation where freedom is most prospered, it is a nation that has been or embraces the Christian ethic. The record is replete with the evidence. I mean, just look at the attempts that have been made in recent years to export American freedom to the Middle East. Let me ask you, how's that worked out? It hasn't. The seeds of freedom can only take root and flourish in the soil of a nation that has been made fertile with biblical Christianity. Our first president, George Washington, understood this. He wrote to the nation in his farewell address in 1796 these following thoughts about the future of this young republic. He said, quote, "Of all of the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Where is the security for property, for reputation, for life, if the sense of religious obligation desert the oaths which are the instruments of investigation in the courts of justice?" Meaning, if God is out of our courts, where's the justice? And then he goes on to say, "And let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Whatever may be conceded to the influence of refined education on minds. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail in the exclusion of religious principle. In other words, he's saying America's future success depends upon morality and religion, and let me caution you, you cannot have morality without religion. You cannot have virtue without religion. And for the record, especially those trolling on the internet, for the record, Washington was not a multiculturalist. He was not one of those coexist form of religion guys. He was a Christian, speaking of Christianity. It is Christianity that has brought forth the fruits of freedom to the world and to this nation. So let's conclude with looking at freedom's future. We've seen freedom's foundation. We've seen the fruits of freedom. What is freedom's future? Well, I am very confident when I look at the strengths of our freedom, the source of our freedom, that is. When you look at something and you begin to analyze and you do a strategic analysis, you sometimes use what's called a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so I use that as we look at freedom's future. We look at the strengths. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14 says, For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Folks, that's why the pulpit must be free. Because the strength of our freedom is found in the ability of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached from the pulpits of America, and not just the pulpits. Religious freedom is not to be quarantined within the walls of this church. Religious freedom is your ability to live according to your faith each and every day, your faith in Jesus Christ, to be able to talk about Jesus in the workplace, to be able to put a scripture on your computer screen, to take your Bible with you and read during breaks at work. That, my friend, is religious freedom, and that is what is being denied Americans today. But our strength is in the ability to continue to proclaim that truth. You see, it is the preaching of God's word that transformed the world, giving rise to Western civilization. Spiritual freedom, and this is what the enemy of God, the enemies of God, understand. Spiritual freedom cannot be contained. Why do you think the Chinese are cracking down on the church in China? Spiritual freedom cannot be contained. It must, by necessity, extend to all areas of life. If you are a Jesus-following Christian, every aspect of your life is going to be surrendered to him. And you know what? That threatens some people. Well, guess what? I'm about threatening a lot of people when it comes to how I live my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to live for a government. I'm not going to live for a political party. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and Jesus.
You're listening to a special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Thanks for joining us today. We're taking a look back at Tony's sermon, Why the Pulpit Must Be Free. Don't go away. We'll hear more from Tony on the other side of this break.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join my wife, Luana, and me on an exciting adventure. Next July 29th, we'll board Holland America's a luxurious MS Uridam in Seattle for a 7-day cruise to Alaska. You'll be joined by other believers as we study God's Word and worship Him together in the midst of some of the most breathtaking beauty in all of God's creation. Alaska is truly awe-inspiring. From stunning wildlife such as humpback whales to the Purple Mountain majesties, America is known and loved for. You'll also hear the latest updates from Washington on the new Congress and administration. Come, fellowship, relax, worship, and explore with us on this memorable vacation experience that is sure to enrich your body, soul, and spirit. For more information or to book your Alaskan adventure, call 844-872-5155 or go to TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that number is 844-872-5155. 872-5155 or tonyperkins.com.
This Christmas, give with a purpose, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. Here at Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Our work ahead includes ensuring that a conservative Supreme Court justice will be selected to repeal and replace Obamacare and do further family values policy in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or frc.org/give to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/give. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
One of the questions I often receive from our listeners is, what can I do right here in my community to make a difference? The answer? A lot. And one of the most effective ways to make a difference right where you live is by organizing and leading a culture impact team in your church. A culture impact team, or CIT, will help keep the members of your church both informed and engaged through a wide variety of tools that we can place in your hands. Go to cultureimpact.org today for more information and order a Culture Impact Toolkit. We can provide you with all the training and materials you need to keep your church informed, inspired, and engaged. It's all free, and we can send it out to you today when you visit cultureimpact.org. Invite your friends at a church to join you in setting up a Culture Impact team. We want to help you answer the question, what can I do to make a difference? So visit cultureimpact.org. Or call us today, toll-free, 800-225-4008.
Welcome back to this special edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. I'm David Salkeld, host of the Washington Watch weekly radio program, sitting in for Tony today. If you're just joining us, we're wrapping up Tony's sermon that he called Why the Pulpit Must Be Free. We've been hearing about the foundation, fruit, and the future of freedom. Let's go back to Greenwell Springs Baptist Church in Louisiana and hear the rest of Tony's sermon.
Spiritual freedom cannot be contained. It must, by necessity, extend to all areas of life. If you are a Jesus-following Christian, every aspect of your life is going to be surrendered to Him. And you know what? That threatens some people. Well, guess what? I'm about threatening a lot of people when it comes to how I live my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to live for a government. I'm not going to live for a political party. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And by the way, the gospel touches on every aspect of life. Jesus, in what is known as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, He told His disciples, He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And guess what? They're okay with that to some degree. But here's what else He said. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. This book is not silent on anything. You see, Jesus and those that despise the truths of God's word hate this because Jesus Himself spoke to these issues. Jesus spoke to the issue of creation. He said that God created us. We weren't some accident out of some kind of primordial slime. And by the way, Jesus, President Obama, spoke to the issue of gender. He created them male and female. You might want to check it out, Mr. President. And by the way, Jesus in Matthew 19 even talked about marriage. He said, a man and a woman. One man, one woman. And Jesus told us, if we're to follow Him, that we're to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them exactly what He said. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? You're not His disciple if you're not teaching what He taught you. You see,
That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the friction is. We can come here and we can sing songs and we can do all the things that we want to do in here. But when we leave and we live according to the teachings of this word, that's when it becomes a threat to those who are the enemy of Jesus Christ. Folks, we have to choose on which side we'll stand. Historians have written that more than any single influencer, it was the pulpits of men like Jonathan Mayhew and George Duffield, who pastored John Adams, that led to America's march for independence from the British. It wasn't a political movement, it was a spiritual movement. We will have no king but Jesus. We will not bow before a crown. And folks, as Christians in America today, we will not bow before any government. The abolition of slavery would not have happened were it not for the pulpits of men like Reverend Lyman Beecher, the father of Harriet Beecher Stowe. Civil rights, America would not be as far along as we are, even though we've had a setback in recent years, if it were not for pulpits like the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Dr. King, more than any, understood the need of a church that could speak freely. Writing in 1963, he said the church must be reminded that it is not the master nor the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state, and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become irrelevant. It'll become a social club without moral or spiritual authority. Folks, may that never be said of us. May we be relevant to the times by speaking prophetic truth to those who will listen. If the church is to fulfill its divine role as the prophetic messenger of God's truth and His love, then the church cannot, hear me, it cannot and it must not be holden to the state for its power or its authority to speak. The pulpits of America must be free to speak the whole counsel of God. Well, let's look. We see the strengths, look at the weaknesses. What are the weaknesses as we see the future of our freedoms? Well, let me tell you what I think our greatest weakness is that concerns me about the future of our freedoms. It's pastors that have become timid and Christians who have become fearful. Folks, as long as I stand and have breath to speak, I will not be timid. I will not shrink back. I will not be fearful of what others say or think. I will preach the whole truth of God's word. On this issue of fear, I want to read Revelation 21. Which is a time of the tribulation is a time of great fear, yet there will be those who will come to know Jesus and will stand firm during the tribulation, not taking the mark of the beast. But to be quite honest, I believe we live in the times as a precursor to the tribulation. I see the signs of tribulation rising. And the same principles apply. We read in verse 7 of chapter 21, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." He's speaking to those who are faithful to him in the midst of great trial and tribulation. He says, to him who overcomes, to him who does not bow in the fear of man, he will become my son. But let me read the next verse. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death," period, final. No grace after that. Notice where he begins the list, not with the sexually immoral, not with the murderers, not with the liars, but with the cowardly. You know why?
Because when we are cowards, when we're afraid to stand for Jesus, there will be those who will never hear about him. We have been called to stand firm in our faith. We have been called to be resolute in standing in the freedom that we've been given. Well, let me speak to the opportunities. We see the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities. Someone once said there are more opportunities before us than before a mosquito at a nudist camp. I'll let you think about that for a moment. You see, the light can scatter the darkness. Folks, open up the newspaper on any given day and you will see the headlines. Darkness surrounds us. But guess what? Even a dim bulb can be seen in the darkness that's surrounding us. That's why I'm grateful to be living in this day. I don't have to be the brightest bulb. All I have to do is be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to turn me on. And folks, God can use each and every one of us in this day of darkness if we'll simply let our little light shine. Now let's close for a moment by looking at the threats. Can I tell you what the greatest threat to our freedom is? It's godless government. That's why I've emphasized you need to vote. Oh, you would say, well, the choices before us are less than desirable. Well, when have they not been? Look, go and vote for the candidate who will do the least amount of damage to our freedom. I'm going to tell you right now, Hillary Clinton, like President Obama, is a threat to our freedom. Look, the threats to our freedoms are great. Just 2 years ago in Houston, a group of pastors, about 12 pastors, had their sermon subpoenaed by the mayor because the mayor did not like the fact that they were preaching about an ungodly ordinance that she had pushed through the city council to redefine gender. Folks, the pulpit has a responsibility to speak to those issues. And I don't know, politicians obviously don't go to church because you don't have to get a subpoena to get my sermon. I'll be happy to send it to you. Or there's pastors like my friend Jack Hibbs in California, who, by the way, their church has been supporting us during this relief effort in a tremendous way, giving us tens of thousands of dollars to help in this community. In California, the government of California mandated that every church, hear me, every church had to put elective abortion coverage in their health care policies, meaning that the tithes and offerings that went from that congregation would pay for abortions. That's ungodly. You've heard of the Little Sisters of the Poor, a group of Catholic nuns who take care of the most poor in our society. They were forced by the Obama administration to have contraceptive coverage in their health care policy. Now think about that one for a moment. And then there's Aaron and Melissa Klein, a young couple with four children who, because of their Christian faith, would not bake a cake for a same-sex couple, were fined $150,000 from the state of Oregon, lost their business and their home because they refused to compromise on their faith. That is a threat to our freedom. Or there's chaplains like Wes Motter, who simply was counseling according to his Christian beliefs contained in the scripture. He was a chaplain to the Navy SEALs. He was fired by the Navy. Folks, our freedom is at risk. 3 years ago at the National Day of Prayer, Coast Guard Rear Admiral William Lee was the last speaker at that day at the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C., and he came to the podium and he had his notes prepared, but he set them aside. And he decided to take a risk and speak on the attacks that was taking place on religious freedom in our military, because this came right in the middle of a string of incidents regarding religious hostility in the military. Admiral Lee confirmed the growing concern over religious liberty when he spoke of a young Coast Guardsman who had become distraught and was discouraged and depressed and had given up hope, and he tried to commit suicide. He shot himself in the head, but he didn't die. And Admiral Lee told the story of going to the hospital to take a message of hope to this young man who was just barely hanging on to life but didn't want to live. And he took with him a Bible, and he told that when he told his associates what he was going to do, and this Coast Guardsman was under his command, he was told by his attorneys in the Coast Guard that if he did that, he would be violating the law and crossing the line by telling this young man about Jesus. And he said, I went and I crossed the line. And I went and I sat by that young Coast Guardsman's bed and I handed him the Bible and I read it to him that Jesus loved him. Some months later, I was having lunch with Admiral Lee and General Boykin at our conference room in D.C., and we were discussing all of the attacks that had come against him since he had taken his stand and whether or not he would survive in the Coast Guard for taking such a bold stand for Jesus. And he said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stand. And we continued the conversation, and after we were finished, he said, I want you to come downstairs and meet somebody. So we went down to our lobby, and there was a young man over the other side that was apparently driving him and was his assistant, and he invited him to come over. And as the young man approached us, I recognized the young man. His face was disfigured. It was the young man who had attempted to take his own life. He was now working with the admiral, and General Boykin asked the young man, he said, how are you, son? He said, I'm fine, sir. And the general said, no, how are you really? He said, I've never been better. I'm great. I know Jesus as my Savior. It is time for pastors and followers of Jesus in our nation to cross that line that the enemies of God have drawn and boldly and unapologetically proclaim the only true and lasting foundation for our freedoms that we have enjoyed in the last 240 years is spiritual freedom, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must not shrink back from that. We must not grow silent about that. We must proclaim that each and every day, everywhere that we go. We must proclaim the full counsel of God. We cannot have economic freedom or political freedom apart from religious freedom. The pulpit in America must be free.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope this sermon will encourage you to take a bold stand for Christ, to proclaim the complete truth of the Bible in your community and in your church. Peter and the apostles said that we must obey God rather than men. What better time than now to obey God in sharing the hope and joy of the world than during this season when we celebrate Christ's birth? I hope you can join us next time on Washington Watch. But until then, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com.